Wow. Great stuff from Jim Garlow. If you have not heard about his new book, it is just awesome. And you can find out more, as he said, there at his website, jimgarlow.com. 39 past the hour. This is Faith Radio. It's Bill Meyer. Joining us is our resident expert on pro-life issues, Kim Cotola. Hello, Kim.
Good morning, Bill. When I heard you say, coming up, Cher, I thought, wow, Cher?
And Sonny's not with her. Yeah. No. We have this fundraiser every spring and fall called Cher, Kim. I'll just educate you about it. Yeah. We'd love to have you join us, by the way. And if you want to sing a Cher song during Cher, we would not turn that down.
Another cup of coffee.
Yeah. Cherokee people. Yeah, we could find one for you. You're dating yourself there, hon.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
All right. Now, first up this morning, the state of California just passed a new law, and this is not a laughing matter. It's a new law specifically protecting Planned Parenthood, and that shouldn't surprise us. It's California, after all. But even some more liberal voices are criticizing this law. Give us some background on the law and what it does.
Well, it has to do with the rules for recording and distributing confidential communication and without consent, which is already a crime under California law. But the new bill adds additional layers of penalties, including additional fines up to a year in prison, specifically for recording a conversation with a healthcare provider. And it's interesting because when Planned Parenthood went to the California legislature, their pretext was not necessarily patient privacy, although that came into play. But they were talking about, they were fear-mongering. They said, you know, these undercover videos last year increased violence against abortion providers, and that was really out of left field. But anyway, even the Los Angeles Times, Bill, in their editorial pages, have accused the lawmakers behind the bill of pandering to special interests. And they said the measure would heap more criminal and civil penalties on making a secret recording, which is actually already prohibited, even when it was done, as was happened with the Center for Medical Progress, in the public interest. And the LA Times said this is just to satisfy an interest group among Sacramento Democrats, and they warned that the bill could disincentivize potential whistleblowers from recording abuses, such as a patient who sees a doctor handing out prescriptions too liberally, et cetera. And so whistleblowers are never popular people, but they're a necessary function of any healthy society and culture. And so even the ACLU has said this was an overreach.
Okay, the Center for Medical Progress, we know they were the undercover group that exposed the baby body parts for cash scandal back when it first broke. And when that happened, I recall the Republican-controlled Congress got all fired up, and they were ready to strip federal funding from Planned Parenthood. We're not going to spend taxpayer dollars on this. What happened to that bill? Is it sort of stalled, or where is it?
They passed that bill in December of last year. They were successful. President Obama vetoed it in January, and then the Democrats defeated an attempt to override the veto. And this is why it really matters if Planned Parenthood is spending money to elect politicians who will defend their cause, even despite evidence that they're not acting in the public interest, you know, and the beat goes on. I mean, back in August, just last month, Bill, Wisconsin officials found up to 2/3 of all Medicaid payments to Planned Parenthood facilities in Wisconsin were fraudulent. That's according to an audit conducted by state inspectors. And I can see it now, as Planned Parenthood will probably go lobby Wisconsin legislatures to restrict state audits of abortion businesses over privacy concerns. They don't look so good when their privacy is peeled back, right? Alliance Defending Freedom has an ongoing project called Profit No Matter What, which is a spin on Planned Parenthood's slogan, Care No Matter What. And it reports the total fraud is from state by state. Planned Parenthood Medicaid fraud is well into the tens of millions of taxpayer dollars, which then they recycle into electing Democrat officials that'll keep the gravy train going.
It's a never-ending cycle of death, if I can put it that way, and it just really troubles me. Okay, on a different issue, there is a new documentary out, a pro-life documentary called Hush. Tell us who made it and what it reveals.
I had a chance to see the film back in March of this year, and it's by Poonam Kumar Gill. She has served as writer, director, producer on 7 documentary films. She is a self-avowed pro-choice feminist who always assumed that induced abortion was safe and without harmful effects. But that changed, Bill, when she suddenly experienced preeclampsia in the second trimester of a pregnancy and sadly, spontaneously miscarried. When she attempted to try to gather information on the possible health consequences down the line of having had this miscarriage, she encountered resistance among health professionals to discussion of any risks. And so they turned her back physically from coming to the National Cancer Institute. She was really troubled by the bromides set out by the health organizations on their websites. These sweeping statements that we see can't possibly be supported by the research. And so her film documents exactly how the National Cancer Institute and the National Institute of Health actively suppressed the scientific dialogue at the meetings, which pronounced the science settled and pronounced abortion safe. And, you know, she did not stack the deck. She simply reported, and she remained pro-choice, which to me was very stunning. And I'm say this in humility, that I am praying for her, because I know many people, myself included, who denied the evidence for a very long time for very different reasons, perhaps, than, you know, as she's processing her grief. But I pray that the truth will persuade her that abortion is wrong, because it always takes the life of an innocent baby. You know, she was looking at the science here, and the science led her to say, we are not being given all the facts because of the behavior of the scientific community. It's a really stunning film, and I think everybody should see it.
And, you know, one of the things that's interesting is the science of the research being done overseas in countries that are not by any means pro-life and certainly not conservative researchers. I'm thinking of Norway. I'm thinking of New Zealand. They have been doing longitudinal, ongoing research on the impact of, for example, just on mental health issues. And there's a researcher at the University of Christchurch that he's pro-choice. He's pro-abortion himself. And yet he says, I can't deny the research. What I'm seeing here is that this has an impact on the psychological well-being of women.
Well, and Finland is very instructive because they have national health care, which means there's no disincentive for any provider or any patient to self-report in any direction. In other words, the government pays for it and the government tracks it. And what they have found in Finland, and that doesn't happen in the United States, by the way, there's no mandatory reporting here in the U.S. The CDC accepts self-reports from abortion providers, and they allow several states, including California, to not report. So we don't really know what's happening in the U.S. But in Finland, where there is this network, as you've said, Bill, of reporting, they have clearly demonstrated a six-fold increase towards suicidal tendency and suicidal attempts, a six-fold increase to new addictions and alcohol abuse, and it's clear that there's a detrimental impact.
Well, and it's the word's not getting out, unfortunately, and it needs to. Our guest is Kim Cottola. She's the host of the Cradle My Heart program, which you can hear every Sunday here on the Faith Radio Network. We'll be right back. Welcome back. 49 past the hour. It's Faith Radio. Bill Meyer with Kim Cottola, who hosts our Cradle My Heart program on the weekends. Kim, some disturbing trends in the medical health field in recent years. And there's some regulations, we've heard about this in the news, forcing healthcare professionals to violate their conscience if they're pro-life. And if they don't, they face disciplinary action, or they could even lose their job. Fill us in on what's been going on.
Well, there are bioethicists, and so this is happening at the level of academia as well as in practice. They recently issued a statement from Oxford that said, among other things, Bill, that in the event of a conflict between a practitioner's conscience and a patient's desire for a legal, professionally sanctioned medical service, the practitioner should ensure the patients receive timely care. If they have a conscientious objection, they have to refer or in an emergency when a referral isn't possible, they have to go ahead and perform the treatment themselves. And so this would include euthanasia. This would include assisted suicide. They are considering all sorts of objectionable practices as treatment, including non-therapeutic abortion and whether it's not to save the life of the mother. A healthy pregnancy isn't an illness. But so to force practitioners to provide treatment is really a chilling idea. The statement could apply to sex change surgery, providing treatments made from destroyed embryos or fetuses. Conscience is no longer a principle being seen at all in the medical practice. The Hippocratic Oath is no longer in force. And it's a sad turn of events, and it really matters. We really need to pay attention to this, because that erosion of humanity at the very level of, you know, the hands of those that we trust with our care and with our lives, it's got to have a lot of unintended consequences.
Well, and I know the Christian Medical Association has been very active on this front and in trying to at least hold back the tide. Also, pro-life attorney Wesley Smith at the Discovery Institute weighed in on this controversy. And Wesley also criticized a Newsweek article, Newsweek magazine article, basically promoting infanticide. What did the Newsweek article actually say?
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, if you're not following Wesley Smith, you should be, because you're right, Bill. He has really got a finger on the pulse. And some of the things that he writes about transhumanism and some of the trends out there, it is just mind-blowing. But he notes that Newsweek magazine published a piece by a Cornell Law School professor. Again, it's coming from academia. Sherry Kolb, using the Zika tragedy to promote infanticide. And I don't know if you saw that story, Bill, but I think there was a new study that 12,000 women who had the Zika virus had healthy babies, first of all. So this is a huge pretext for advancing abortion, and in this case, advancing infanticide. She wrote a piece that Newsweek published, "Is Terminating a Late-Term Zika Fetus Euthanasia?" And so it's not now a convenience for the mother to allow her to avoid having a child with a disability. No, we're being kind to the child with a disability by killing.
Oh, my gosh.
Killing as kindness is her argument, basically. And Newsweek magazine published it, and Wesley Smith is right to call our attention to it and say somebody promoting terminating a 32-week-old baby for Zika-caused birth defect is, you know, making a case for euthanasia for us really needs to make us pause and ask ourselves the value of human life, even with individuals who have disabilities. It's a very clarifying moment for each of us in our hearts.
Mm. Kim, just about 2 minutes left to go. The general election coming up in 60 days. Every member of the House of Representatives up for re-election, and many pro-life representatives are being targeted by the pro-abortion group NARAL. What's been happening with Representative Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee?
Well, she is one of the most outspoken abortion opponents, and she's been leading the panel investigating the practices of abortion providers. And so she's being targeted. NARAL is on the ground, activists going door to door, signing up new NARAL members, buying ads, billboards, spreading the pro-choice message. And they're targeting her and hope to, you know, fill her seat with a Democrat who will do Planned Parenthood's bidding.
Now, I've met Marsha and have great respect for her. In fact, I met her at the Capitol. How do these pro-abortion groups typically go after pro-life members of Congress? Do they produce misleading TV ads that distort their record and what they truly stand for?
Absolutely. And again, you know, they have recruited down to the level of high school students who do peer counseling among other high school students, and of course on campuses, and they're out at festivals and all the places where people are enjoying life, you know, with this propaganda message that anyone who wants to defend the rights of children yet to be born is against women's rights. And it's proven very effective in places like South Dakota. So we need to be really careful as parents and as young people who we are listening to and where we are getting our information. And we need to be sure that whatever anyone tells us, that it's in line with God's word and in line with the compassion that Jesus exhorts us to share to the youngest members of the human family.
Mm. Kim, as always, we appreciate your insights, your commitment to God's truth, and want to invite our listeners to join you this Sunday on Cradle My Heart. Just quickly, who's your guest this weekend?
Oh, my goodness. Ben Domenech, the publisher of The Federalist, is going to talk about his proposal for a third political party, the Party of Life. And he says that, you know, there have been abolition parties in the past, and so he'll give us his view on whether or not it could be successful and what that might look like.
Fascinating. Join Kim this weekend, Cradle My Heart, here on the Faith Radio Network. Thanks, Kim.
Thank you, Bill.